Mason Marchment. He has 15 points in 7 games, Clarice.
On the power play, it's a cross ice for Malkin. Side for Russ. Gensel sprints over. Pulls it away from Sanheim. Brian Russ, hard pass. Letang. Crosby opens. Kicks around in front. Back to Malkin on the Crosby. He scores!
Hey, 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 everybody. We are Five Hole Fantasy Hockey. I'm Zach Vogel, and with me today is Mike Rogerson.
Hey there.
Rog, did you know that you, me, and TJ may not be welcome in the NHL circle? I figured this out. We might not be welcome. There hasn't been a single player in NHL history with the names Vogel, Rogerson, or Branson. That means that, Dez, it's all up to you, buddy, unless that German exchange student from high school has a surprise for me. Then we might have another contender. So, you know, we'll see. I don't know why I fucking looked that up, but I was like, man, I want to see if there was a Rogerson ever. No.
There was Mike Rogers for the Rangers back in the day, but that's the closest I got.
It just sucks because now I know that I was pigeonholed not be an NHL star.
That's the reason. That's why you're not in the league.
Right? No, that's definitely the reason. I never had a shot, and it didn't matter that I didn't actually have a shot, you know?
Conspiracy. Keep us out of the show.
I was okay at defense. I can skate. Okay, so got the week preview today. Hopefully you got another win in. Hopefully we helped you out with that a little bit. I know Andrew Kopp didn't help you, and I'm sorry about that because I was wrong. Luckily for me, I didn't take my own advice and I didn't pick him up. but I did actually miss on a couple this week. I'm still winning, which I'm happy about that in our home league at least. Dude, we're coming down to nitty gritty.
Getting there.
Like, I looked at how many weeks that we have left and we are coming down to the nitty gritty here. It is getting real. And it seems like every week in a lot of leagues, you'll see it's like, all the teams that are above 500 keep on winning, and all the teams that are below 500 keep on losing. Like I said, we have the week preview coming up. First, let's start, as we always do, with the injuries.
Couldn't get it. Trocheck got popped! Mason Marchment delivered the blow, and they're coming after him.
Vinny Trocheck has been getting roughed up big time lately.
Big time.
Big time. He left Friday's game with an upper body injury, but it's unclear as to when he sustained the injury. Mason Marchment, who has been straight kicking tits lately, by the way, rocked his friggin' block on Wednesday, and then Kunin and Johansson both put a hurting on him on Friday, and then he ended up leaving that game. I will say this, that game against the Panthers on Wednesday between the Canes and Florida had some like serious playoff feel to it. I watched that game and it was an awesome game.
Yeah.
Like it was like you could cut the freaking tension with a knife. They both showed up knowing that the other team was going to show up, you know?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the East battles this year, actually. There's going to be some good playoffs going on in the East, I think.
I've liked Florida for a long time, so I'm glad it's finally working out. I'm glad that they're finally putting the piece together. Vladimir Tarasenko has been ruled out of today's game against Toronto with an undisclosed injury. He's a great player, obviously, as we all know, but the depth of the Blues makes his injury, you know, almost like not too big of a deal. They still have a solid three lines. You know, now Sundqvist is on the third line in the top nine. They have a top nine. Everybody else is lucky to have a top six. The Blues have a top nine. So really, I don't think that your Robert Thomas shares are going to hurt. Your Pavel Buchnevich shares aren't going to hurt because they're still playing with the players that they're playing with. Keep an eye on Vladdy. My pick for this past week's full week hold, Jesse Puljujarvi, is going to be out for 4 freaking weeks.
Ouch.
Yeah. He scored me a goal and then suffered a lower body injury shortly thereafter. it definitely sucks, though, because he was playing pretty well in those prior three games of the week that he played. That top six is now filled with Ryan McLeod. He got a couple assists in the game that Puljujärvi went down against Anaheim, but nothing in today's game. And he is not someone that I'm out there suggesting, though, either. Neither the minutes or the shots are to my personal liking. They're both way too low. There's a lot of guys that you can find that are playing, you know, 13, 14, 15 minutes a game that are actually worth picking up. And I don't know that Ryan McLeod is one of them, even though he is currently on that second line with Draisaitl. And I'm even a Draisaitl owner, and I don't want to look at that stack.
But I'm really hoping that they smarten up and just move Nuge back up to line two and just stack the top six and fuck the third line.
They seem so intent on those top, like that strength down the middle. You know what I mean? Yeah. It seems like they are just so intent on doing that 1-2-3 straight down the middle. Your best three players, 1-2-3. And it sucks because your third best player is on the third friggin' line.
Yeah, I'm not into it. I'm not into it at all.
I don't like it. Another one of my previous streamers we find on the injury list. Fun. Cole Perfetti. He's going to be out. He is more than day-to-day, quote-unquote. He was definitely impressing me as of late, and he was impressing me by showing up on the score sheet. Good, though, he isn't hurt for a week-to-week designation, so I'm happy about that. We'll see how this whole day-to-day thing goes. But, I mean, Cole Perfetti was kind of like a, I wouldn't say reach streamer, but, you know, it's not like he was someone who would have been my number one streamer, but he's at least worth a look. Andrew Kopp, who I was, you know, I put one bet down on, and then I doubled down, and I just, you know, I lost my pants. So he didn't do shit, even after all that. And now he's out.
He is out.
With an upper body injury, and he didn't play in today's game against the Oilers. So I'm sorry.
Yeah, you put the curse on a few of these guys last week.
Whoa. I don't know about a curse. Don't be throwing around the word curse, Raj. That seems a little overdoing it.
I don't know, man. That's like half of this injury list have been last week's streamer list, it looks like.
Okay. Then you know what? Maybe this week, all I'm going to do is suggest Vancouver Canucks. What do you think about that, buddy? I think everybody should pick up JT Miller and Quinn Hughes and Bo Horvat and, ooh, Brock Besser. Brock Besser would be a great pickup.
Don't you dare.
We'll see how they fare out next
week. Don't you dare.
Fuck you, dude. Okay, moving on, because screw Raj and his negativity. Jonas Korpisalo, he is out. He could not serve as the backup for Elvis Merzlikins. Elvis Merzlikins, who is still on my team and has been disappointing me. I don't know about what to say about all that, because I want to drop him so bad, but like I just keep on holding on to him, and he keeps doing shitty. We're going to talk about him in a little bit. Sticking with goalies, Robin Lehner. He couldn't go against the Kings last night. That put Laurent Boissois in there. He had a loss in that game, and I picked him up for that loss. So that was, you know, another one where I didn't hit on a goalie. It ain't the end of the world. I still got some points. I just didn't get the win. The next game Leonard could start is against San Jose tomorrow, which is Sunday. So today for you guys, still, I would be down for a Brassois pick, you know, stream him if he can't go, because Leonard is playing, then don't worry about it, obviously. But if Brassois is playing, I'll still pick him up against San Jose. You agree with that one? I'm down for a Brassois pickup any time of the week.
Yeah, definitely. Vegas has been having a rough couple of games, but definitely down. And San Jose stinks.
They still can score points, which that's the one thing I will say about them. They can still score the fucking puck every now and then. Okay, so week preview, Raj. The teams that we like. Why don't you let me know about the teams that you like? We'll pick a couple people out from each team, and we'll see if we agree. That's always the big one. Do we actually agree?
I highly doubt it. But yeah, there's a few teams with some good schedules. We kind of, as usual, focused a little bit more towards the start of the week, see who's got the...
Well, yeah, because that's why we do a weekend preview.
I mean, things are settling down with the COVID and all that kind of stuff, but you still, it's been tough to look too far ahead, so... Get a lead early in the week, figure out what you got to do for the weekend. Winnipeg is a team. That's true. They're a team. They start the week with three off nights. They got four games next week.
They have a perfect schedule.
Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday. So there's no back-to-back situations for them. Three off nights against Calgary, Dallas, Colorado, and Arizona. So other than the Colorado game, they've, you know, Winnipeg hasn't been great, but that's... That's a decent schedule. As you already said, there's a couple guys that we kind of liked as streamers previous from Winnipeg that are out now between Kopp and Perfetti. Is there anybody left on Winnipeg that you're still into at this point?
You might be disappointed in me. And I know a lot of people probably will be because I know there's always, you know, a lot of talk, pros and cons, about Paul Stastny. It's that Paul Stastny time of year.
It is. It is.
Yep. It's that time of year. He is 6% owned, so he is available. I'm going to talk about Paul Stastny. The whole thing is, we know that he's going to go on a stretch like he always does. He always goes on at some point in time. The hard part is figuring out when. When. I think it's about to start now. Actually, I think it did start. I think this is the start of it. He's on the top line right now with Scheifele and a revitalized Blake Wheeler. He got four shots on goal in each of his last two games, and he's made the score sheet in both of those as well. The ice time has been steady, you know, with or without being on that top line. I'm on Stastny, especially because of this week. It's very low owned, so I feel like it's a low risk. And dude, it's all off nights. I mean, come on.
And now he's got the left wing as well this year, so he's center and left wing, which makes it a lot better than when he was just a C in the past. Stastny's often good for a couple of weeks, and like you mentioned there, Wheeler is back. He just rose from the dead, the full Undertaker, and he's back. So, I mean, for that matter, Wheeler's only 75% owned still because so many people got fed up with his, you know, first 40 games or so that were just terrible. But I mean, Wheeler's got 15 points in his last 12. Like 75% he's probably taken, but that's good for everybody when he's scoring. That means the power play is going to be back on track. That means a guy like Stastny is going to have some assists to maybe get in on. So I like that. I hate Winnipeg so much. There's one guy that always seems to come up when Winnipeg's streamable, and that's Josh Morrissey. You know, now he hasn't been fantastic, 6 points in 10 games. He's a player on that team. He's been getting some power play time. He's got four power play points in the last 10 games. So most of his points have been power play assists, and he's playing 25 minutes a night. If you need a D, just given that schedule, Josh Morrissey could be someone to look at. I hate Winnipeg so much. I don't know what happened. I used to like them a lot.
That was great research that you did, though. My favorite part was when you said he's a player on that team, because that's true. That's true. He is a player on this team. But dude, he's only 42% owned. He's on that top power play. Three of his last 4 points have been on that power play. And those have all been since he got bumped up. You're getting hits. You're getting blocks. And he's peppering the net with shots. I think he needs to be snatched up because he's going to go over 50%. And you don't want to be left in the dust. I do. I think Josh Morrissey is a really good look here. Why don't we move on? Who else do you like? I think Colorado has a decent schedule here. What are we looking at here? Colorado is, they're playing at Boston on Monday, at Detroit on Wednesday, at Winnipeg on Friday, but they have a back-to-back Friday, Saturday. You know, actually, that whole first part of the week is fantastic.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, brought it up a few times with the problem with Colorado is everybody's owned.
And I don't want Sam Girard right now. I don't fucking care about you right now, Sam Girard. You're playing pretty bad.
I don't want Sam Girard either, but I do want Valeri Nichushkin.
Chooch.
He's over 17 minutes a game. He's got 8 points in his last 10 games.
He's the only available player in that top six.
3.5 shots a game, a couple hits a game, definitely in for him. I don't know why he's so low when some of these other guys are so high, but I mean...
29%. 29%.
Yeah.
And you're not going to get anybody that's on that first power play unit. You're not probably going to get anybody else that's even in that top six. Kadri is definitely not available anymore.
Not anymore.
You know, he hasn't been available since January. Burakovsky, the ruling is out, even though he is on a little pointless streak as of right now. I think he's pointless in, what, his last four, maybe five games?
Yeah, he's up to five.
I mean, if anybody out there is dumb enough to drop a Burakovsky because he's on a five-game skid, throw him a fucking bone. But, I mean, it's Valeri Nichushkin, just because, for me, he's the only available player in that top six. I like that schedule just because it's so compact, and then if you hold on to them, you know, till the end of the week, then you're looking at possibly just being able to drop them and then pick somebody else up for Sunday, which is always a big deal for me.
How weird is it to say that I want Nichushkin because I want a piece of the Kadri line? Like, what other year would you say that? Like, that's why I want him, is because he's playing next to Kadri, who's still top of the league. So yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Some of us drafted Kadri, you know.
Some of you did.
Fucking idiot savants of us. What do you think about a later schedule part of the week pickup of Pavel Francouz? He's going to be playing, you know, either that Winnipeg game or that Vegas game. That's going to be a hard game either way. But Colorado's really good.
Well, exactly. I'm not too worried. I think you can go for it. Colorado's can potentially win every night, so I think that's totally fine. Francouz has been pretty solid this year. And yeah, I mean, I think if Vegas starts to put things together with Eichel, they might be a little dangerous. On Colorado, like I said, I bet on their goalie any day of the week, no matter who it is.
That's true. And Pavel Francouz is a player on that team. Yeah, he is. He plays for that team. Who else do you like?
Toronto's got four games, two off nights. They do start the week with back-to-back on Monday, Tuesday against Montreal and Columbus. So that's a nice way to start the week off. And then they have Minnesota and Detroit later in the week. We keep saying, like, it's so nice to start the week, especially the back-to-back, a pretty weak back-to-back. Nonetheless, there are three games in the first four nights. So that's very good. And there's a couple of guys like Rookie of the Year Michael Bunting is only 32% owned. And you know what? Like, probably actually Rookie of the Year Michael Bunting. He's got 7 goals and 2 assists in the last 10. He's playing with Marner and Matthews pretty exclusively in 5-on-5. Like, not exclusively, but just about. The only downside to Bunting is there's no way in hell he's ever going to see power play 1. It's pretty much locked down with 5 superstars that he's not going to take over for. But even so, I mean, if you're getting 7 goals in the last 10 games, I was a doubter earlier in the season, but I mean, it's pretty hard to argue with what he's done. 15 minutes, almost 16 minutes a night playing with Marner and Matthews, I'm taking whoever that is.
I definitely feel you with that at only being 32% owned. That, I mean, that's hard to say no to. But I will also point out that I don't think that he's the only one that really you can kind of look at here. Alexander Kerfoot is only 15% owned. And while Bunting may be on the top line, Kerfoot is on a good scoring line himself with Tavares and Nylander, the latter of which scored a goal tonight in the game that they're currently losing against the St. Louis Blues to. And Kerfoot assisted on that, along with Tavares, also assist. I certainly do wish that Kerfoot's time on ice was better, but at 3 shots on goal in each of his last few games, like, that's something I do dig. The only thing is, he gets no power play time. It's not, oh, well, you're not going to see a piece of that first power play. Valker don't see no power play time. So that doesn't exactly blow my skirt up. But I do like his proximity to a superstar in Jonathan Tavares than Willie Nylander, who isn't a superstar, but a damn good fucking player. Lastly, I do like Andrei Kasha still. And I kind of got to say that I wish he wasn't buried on the third line and getting no ice time. He's got 2 goals in his last 3 games. He's shooting at a really good clip. He's only getting, like, you know, he's getting pretty shitty time on ice, to be honest with you. But he's still getting shots in. What, he's only getting, what, 14 to 15 minutes time on ice here?
Yeah, and even less some nights. So he's definitely like, there's the odd time when he gets moved up to the top line or something like that. But he seems to have slipped down a little bit. He just, it's his own thing, right? Like every time he starts to get something going, he gets injured. Toronto's not a team you can get injured on because there's a whole bunch of guys fighting for that top six.
Yeah, that's actually exactly what happened. Andre Kasha was playing very well on that Matthews Marner line, just as everybody else is. Like
Shocker, right?
I could go on that Matthews Marner line and we could try to make some magic happen and try, you know. But I mean, he got hurt and then he lost his spot, and since then Michael Bunting has been on a fucking tear, so you can't take him off of it. But it still sucks that he, you know, that Andre Kasha is getting the shit under the stick just because he got hurt. But that is what he does. Because I don't think it's hard to prove the correlation between time on ice and having chances to put the puck on the net.
Well, yeah, time on ice next to Marner and Matthews kind of speeds up people's production from what I can see here as well. Keep an eye on that because, I mean, like you said, there's no real reason for Bunting to lose that the way it's been going. Unless, like, Kerfoot slips out of that second line spot. We'll see how it goes.
The only other person I'm looking at here is a 45% owned Peter Mrazek as part of that back-to-back. You know, is right at the very beginning of the week. You know how I love to pick up these random goalies at the beginning of the week. You try to get a win just to start yourself off. And if you get one on a freaking Monday or a Tuesday on a pickup of someone like Peter Mrazek, who you can drop right away, who isn't going to play the rest of the week, then kudos. Then fucking golf clap, boys.
Yeah, man, I think it's pretty winnable games, too. Both of those, whether he gets the Montreal or the Columbus game, Toronto should be able to handle both of those. So very good pickup.
Fuck yeah. Raj, let me see if I can sell you this one, because I know you're not going to dig it.
What?
I know you're not going to dig it. The Columbus Blue Jackets, Raj. They play four games. Now, the whole thing is, this one's more of like a whole week thing. So they have Monday off, play Tuesday, and they play some heavy nights here too. They play Tuesday against Toronto, and then they play Florida, and then they play Carolina back-to-back. That's going to be a really hard fucking trip. A lot of teams have had trouble with this, you know, Florida-Carolina trip. And then usually they get, you know, Tampa Bay thrown in there at the same time too. It's rough. And then they finish out the week at home against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Pittsburgh's been good too. So that's a rough.
Three games in 4 days right in the middle of your week, Raj. Isn't that a little bit tempting?
Oh, it's tempting. It's just all four of those games are really tough. Having said that, when I was going through notes today, I just, on principle, avoiding Columbus when I saw those teams. But, you know, we were talking before we pressed record tonight, and there is actually a couple guys on Columbus that are really, really doing things right now. I snagged Line A off the wire. Somebody rage dropped him last week. So I just picked him up with the thought of, like, you know, it's Patrick Line A. Yeah, he could go off.
We'll give him a chance. Why not? And then he scores like 7 straight hat tricks.
He's got 18 points in his last 12 games. He's been great. But like he's up to 81%. There's a couple other guys I know you were talking about on Columbus as well.
Boone motherfucking Jenner. Boone Jenner at 46% owned. Very lowly owned as far as I'm concerned. Point per game in his last 10. And he's putting together a damn good year just in general. 37 points in 48 games.
Yep.
Let's give this man some love. As we all know, this isn't a new one. You know, I'm not throwing out something that, you know, oh, I never heard of that guy before. No, you know that he's going to get you the hits. You know he's going to get you the blocks. And he's going to get you all the adjoining peripherals, as we're all aware of.
Mm-hmm.
With Line A being on fire right now, this seems like a slam dunk. Voracek also playing very well. Voracek is the voice of that team. Like, I think that's a good first line. But if Boone Jenner is available, pick him up. Over 50% available. Jeez.
He's been good most of the year. Like, most of it, actually.
Yeah. 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 He hasn't gone on any big stretches where he's not getting points.
To have the peripheral floor that he's got is amazing. And their power play has been pretty decent too, actually. Which Line A, Jenner, Werenski, Voracek, and Bjorkstrand have been scoring okay on the power play. That schedule, it is scary. But if you got a Boone Jenner, like, I think if you can find Boone Jenner, if he's available, I would just pick him up and plan on probably holding him. I mean, he's been holdable most of the season, so. Definitely, 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 if you get one of those guys. How do you feel? I mean, how do you feel about Bjorkstrand these days?
I like Oliver Bjorkstrand. I'm just picking up Jenner over him, I guess. I guess that's where I'll go with this. If they're both available, which they're both similarly owned, Bjorkstrand is only 44% owned. And they're both right around the same. If they're both available and I can pick between the two, I'm picking Jenner. That's just the fact of the matter.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's been a little more consistent throughout the season. One thing I didn't know is I forgot, maybe I didn't know, I don't know, but I didn't know Bjorkstrand hit that much. He's had a few 5-hit games recently. I think either of those could be a good pickup for this week when they have this nice schedule.
Okay, so I'm over here like hold my face because it's the time of the episode where we have to really, really talk about Elvis Merzlikins a little more. This man is 65% owned. I am part of that 65%. I've been feeling the pain of this Mersey roller coaster all year in a big way. You know, it started out great and then it went down. And then I've been waiting for, you know what I mean? I've been waiting for the roller coaster to start, you know, tick, 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 and go back up. But it seems like it goes tick, 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 and then just keeps on going down. 875, 836. Then I'll sit him for a game and he'll get a 978. And then I'll be like, oh, I should have played him. And he'll get back it up with a fucking 858 or some shit like that. I will say this. If you want, guys, I can let you know if I decide to sit him on any of these games. Because if I sit him, he's going to do well. And then you should play him. But the whole thing is, with Korpisalo being out, not being able to take any of that load, if he continues to be out, really is the question. But if Korpisalo continues to be out and Merzlikins is getting thrown to the wolves here on these, you know, really hard games that are coming up, man, like, I don't know if I want to fucking play him. I'm being honest. I'm being totally honest. Like, I don't know if I want to play this guy because I'm afraid that he's going to get me negative fucking points against the likes of the Canes and Toronto, Florida, who's going to put up a friggin' snowman on him. They're going to go Young Jeezy on this bitch. He's going to score 8 goals.
Yeah, it's a tough week for Columbus goalies, I think. That's going to be a rough one. If you're done crying over Merzlikins...
I mean, I'm done, but...
It's going to be a sad week for those guys. Speaking of ending the episode on a sad note, the last good schedule of the week here, shitty teams have streamers available, and Seattle is a shitty team, and therefore has some streamers available.
But are they, though?
Wins-wise, they're terrible. But streamer-wise, they've got some really good options. And their schedule is similar in that they've got the back-to-back to start the week against Vancouver and the Islanders. So not the toughest of games. So that's a great way to start. You might even want to just take that back-to-back, but then they do have a couple games later in the week as well against Boston. So I might even just take these guys for the back-to-back to start it. Top of the list, I mean... The most owned person in Seattle is Giordano at 48%. Why don't we start there? You can get him in over half of leagues. He's been doing very well of late. Defensemen who are worth streaming are tough to find. Top power play defenseman, 9 assists in the last 12 games. 3 of them are on the power play. So if they're going to get power play points, he's going to be in on it. He's getting old, but he's still playing 23 minutes a game, running the PP1. You know he's going to block. He's still shooting more than twice a game. He's hitting over time a game. So I think Giordano is an option. Again, given that back-to-back to start the week.
And he's a player on this team, too. Damn, I just saw that fucking Tim Stützle scored a goal tonight. I just dropped him. I just fucking shit.
Who's your favorite Seattle Kraken?
My favorite Seattle Kraken is Jared McCann.
Yeah.
This is my thing about Jared McCann. Sometimes I pick him up and then he scores me a point, and then I'll drop him. And then every time I think about picking up Jared McCann, I go and I look through, and I'm scrolling through, and I'm looking, hey, who scored a goal and who got assists and all this jazz. And I always see Jared McCann every time. I definitely don't pick him up. But it seems like every time I want to pick him up, he scores a point. Every time I don't pick him up, he definitely scores a point. And he's only 27% owned. He's my number one on that team. My number one pickup on that team, as far as I'm concerned. And that's over Mark Giordano, who is, you know, more highly owned. He is a 20-goal scorer for the first time in his career. 20-goal scorer this year. Did that in 45 games.
Yeah, he's definitely stepped his game up this year and absolutely a great pickup. And he's been relatively consistent.
Shoots almost three times a game on goal.
Power play one.
Dude, he's giving you some hits, not a lot of blocks. But I mean, he's doing a lot. I like Jared McCann. I've always been kind of bumping Yanni Gourde. And I don't know if that's where you were going to go with this, but like I've kind of... You know, I've kind of started taking a step off the Yanni Gourde train, and I'm getting on the McCann train.
Exactly. Gourde's still doing pretty well. The big difference, and this is something we've talked about before, offensively about the same points-wise, both on the power play, both probably no worries of losing any major time or anything, but the big difference is McCann shoots a heck of a lot more, and Gourde hits a lot more. So... I think if you're going to go through the two guys, I think either of them could be a good pickup and like the back-to-back to start the week. They both have center as an option and McCann's left wing, Gourde's right wing. But if you're needing more hits, you know, I'm going to lean to Gourde. And if you're needing more shots and more offensively heavy, I'd go with McCann. But I think either of those guys are good picks, to be honest.
It's weird. So I've been talking a lot this year about Yanni Gourde, usually when we're talking about a Seattle pickup. But it always seemed like it seems like he has hardly played any games.
Yeah.
When you look back at the year, and I feel like Yanni Gourde has hardly played, but he's only played three less games than Jared McCann. He has, four less points in three less games. He has 28 points in 42 games, but he only has 10 goals. And I think maybe that's what it comes down to. McCann is doubling him up on goals.
Yeah.
I think that's where the problem is coming from for me. And, you know, if you're not shooting as much, he's shooting less than two times a game, where McCann is shooting right around three times a game. I think it's really just me being an a-hole, and it's the goals that I'm remembering. And I keep seeing Jared McCann score goals. So it makes me want to pick up Jared McCann now.
Everybody's available. And you know what? They have a pretty consistent... few other guys as well. Like I think those are the guys, Gourde, McCann, and Giordano. But I mean, even a guy, I don't want to just list everybody on the team off here, but I mean, Mason Appleton's been doing good for deep leagues, another guy who hits a couple of times. Larson has been way down. That was always my go-to peripheral streamer, was always Adam Larson, but he's down to one block and only two hits, so he's not even the sure thing that he used to be. So,
do you know what player is awesome in my NHL that I have on Xbox? Because I do like that I make my own player, and then you live that person's life. Alexander Brendberg is like the best player in that game. And he has more points than even I have. And I score like three goals a game, but it's because he's on every single one of my, he always gets assists on me, and my player keeps getting hurt. So he has more points than me. Alexander Wenberg is like the fucking Rocket Richard winner in my game. And it pisses me off. Why can't you do that in real life, Alexander Wenberg?
Yeah, I don't know about that. He's been getting lots of minutes, but that's not how he's performing in real life. Yeah, I don't know. Seattle's another one of those teams. You are kind of, any of those guys, you're kind of taking a bit of a chance because Seattle can play poorly any day.
But why do you have to take a chance when Jared McCann is only 27% owned? All right. That is the week preview. I'm going to be taking a couple of days off. I'm going up to Pennsylvania. I'm going to be seeing TJ for a little bit. I'm going to be visiting some friends and some family and whatnot, taking a little bit of vacation, going up to cold-ass Pennsylvania in fucking February. I did not think this through. I am still going, however. Raj, I'm sorry I won't be around for the Tuesday trends, but I will be back in time for the weekend preview. I'm looking forward to it. I will drive safely. Snow doesn't scare me. I love the snow, to be honest with you. My whole thing, Raj, is, okay, so if it's going to be bitter fucking cold out and all windy and just shitty where you don't even want to be outside, you just go outside, it's so cold it fucking hurts, it might as well be pretty.
Everybody look at the snow in the yard.
You know what I mean? At least might as well be fucking pretty out there. Want to look out the window instead of looking out there and it being like, you know, I don't want it to feel like I'm in, you know, Norway where they got to paint their houses bright colors so they don't kill themselves. Winter sucks. So at least if it's snow outside, it looks nice. And you're like, oh, look at this picturesque, you know, fucking winter scene in my backyard. That squirrel and that cardinal are having a great time. That's my thought on snow.
I don't know. We don't get much snow up here in Vancouver. Oh, yeah. Say hi to the TJ, obviously, and give a guy a big hug from us. Have a cheesesteak.
See, that's the whole thing. Like, I'm not up there for an incredibly long time. And, like, the thing or one of the things I miss most about Pennsylvania is the food. Like, Pennsylvania has really good food. And I want to get a whole bunch of these things that I can't get anywhere else. They only have in Pennsylvania. They don't have fucking bear claws down here. People don't even know what bear claws are, Raj. They're drinking ranch all over the place, but they don't even know what a bear claw is. You can't find a good hoagie down here. You know, they don't have sub shops and shit like that. It's awful. I want some fucking whoopie pies and icy tea and shit and tasty cakes. Fuck. Fuck. Just deep throat a whole bunch of Hershey's candy bars. But no, there really is. Like, the food in Pennsylvania is super solid, except for stuff like Scrapple and shit. If you like Scrapple, then look up Scrapple. Scrapple is the worst. It's the worst. It's worse. Everybody tell me your thoughts on Scrapple, even if you ever heard of it. And, like, the only way people like it is they're like, oh, I like it well done. Yeah, that's because you like it to be a fucking brick where you can't even taste it. Ugh. As we leave you on that note, this has been Five Hole Fantasy Hockey. Come join our Discord so we can talk about Scrapple and shit like that on our phones. We just message each other and shit. Other than that, Raj, I'll see you next week. I'm sure I'll text you probably, you know, every day like usual, even while I'm in PA. I'll go see TJ. I'll go give him a hug for you. And Raj, love you.
Love you.
Everybody else, love yous. Nuggets.